Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today, back for the second time, Barbara Coonan. Hello to you, Barbara.
Hi, Rob, and thank you for having me on the show again.
Well, it's great to have you here. You work in the law world. You've taken on a job recently in one of the largest law firms in the Middle East, and you've got a strong business development pedigree. Just give us a bit of flavor of your background and your areas of passion, Barbara, for people that may not know you very well.
I'm very, very passionate about teaching lawyers and others in the professional services sector about how to do business. So from setting up their own business plan to attracting new clients to preparing strategies. And it's also why I wrote a book, Beyond Billable Hours.
Why do professionals like lawyers and accountants struggle so much with the winning business side of things in their role?
I think that's because they may not be taught how to run the commercial side of a business. It's usually not part of their program. They get into practice after graduation, and then this is where they need to learn. But the problem really starts when all that matters is their billable hours, so anything else is irrelevant. And then by the time they want to become a partner to the firm, the requirements actually change, and the firm wants them to be more commercially savvy, but also probably in charge of a P&L. And how do you do that?
And you talk about that interesting step up. If fee earners have designs on being partner and promoting their career and having more of a voice and influence in a professional firm. It's so difficult to do it, isn't it, with just technical skills? You need that ability to make rain and bring in business.
Yeah, and I do believe it's something that can be taught, but obviously there's people who would really like the profession. They just want to get their head down and work on client matters and client files,
yeah,
and are not interested in the other side of the business. And quite frankly, an accountancy firm will need those people as well. But I think there's also a few which have that sort of like natural commercial sense in order to develop and grow their practice. But for most, it doesn't come naturally, but it's something that can be taught.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. Here at the Business Development Academy, which is my business, we say that there are many different ways to win work, and you've got to find something that plays to your strengths and your personalities rather than just copying what one senior partner has told you to do that's worked for them over many years. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. I mean, some people are highly uncomfortable going to large networking events, for example.
Yeah.
The risk is reputational damage to the firm,
yeah,
rather than being helpful at all. So I always suggest if it's not your cup of tea, don't do it. Focus on something that you're comfortable with. And it doesn't mean that you won't be able to be successful or to be a rainmaker. But as you say, there are so many ways that you can do that. You just need to choose the right activity for you.
When you look at winning business, Barbara, do you see it as a solo sport or a team sport? Is it something the firm should be joined up doing, or can people make a mark on their own?
I would say it's definitely a team sport, even though most of the law firms and accountancy firms are split into practice areas, for example. So they've got different focus, tend to operate in silo. I think that approach is not right. You need to do everything as a team. And the reason for that is one of the most important clients you have is your internal client, which are your colleagues. But even if you're at your computer, instead of having your coffee in the pantry, usually at workplace, you can just call up your colleagues and, you know, have a chat and just build that relationship to make sure that they know where to find you if there is any room for referral. And this is the easiest way to get business because you don't need to get into these sometimes awkward conversations with potential targets or with new clients or with existing clients, but you speak to your colleague and it's great. It will work.
Yeah. I like the fact that you agree that it's a team sport because business development and marketing go hand in hand. You've got to build in the sales skills. So it doesn't matter how many leads you generate, they still need talking to, nurturing, qualifying, positioning, proposing, quoting, selling, converting, don't they? So there's a whole load of skills goes into bringing in the business.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it starts with obviously targeting the right people.
Well, let's look at that. If Fiona has designs on furthering the career, they want to get more involved with business development, how do they start spotting opportunities for more business?
My first piece of advice would be to always focus first on your existing clients. It sounds very tempting to go out to market and to see if you can find a few targets or opportunities that you might be able to bring into the firm. But as the rule goes, the 80-20 rule, where 80% of our revenue comes from 20% of our clients generally, then you can see where the worth is. So expanding your business from your current clients, whether that be through cross-selling to other practice areas or to other services you can offer, or maybe other jurisdictions if your firm has offices in different locations, that's the low-hanging fruit. If that's saturated, and I believe that takes a long time for that to be completely leveraged, then it's time to move on to look at targeted opportunities. So anything you will do in that area in terms of getting new clients on board would have to align with your strategy. So that's why I don't really believe in going out to networking events and grasp, I don't know how many business cards, because it's not a targeted approach. You will catch something, but it's maybe something you don't even want to catch. Whereas if you go for a targeted approach, you really look into what sort of sector am I looking at? What does my ideal client look like? What sort of portfolio do they have? How can I assist them? What sort of needs do they have? And then you find ways to reach out to them.
Yeah. And the accountants listening will be overjoyed that you're telling them not to go out networking, because even non-accountants struggle with that networking, as you've said. But we're in COVID times, Barbara, so people are not really doing that in-person networking anyway. They have to find a different way to do it. So you've mentioned going to your internal clients, if you like, your colleagues, and nurturing them, educating them. Talk a little bit more about that and how you would get referrals from your colleagues, because they've got to know what you do. They've got to know how to position you, how to create an opening for you, how to talk about you, how to introduce you, haven't they?
Yeah, good question. So networking is extremely important. Don't get me wrong. What I mean to say is, like, attending networking events, conferences, I don't think they're worthwhile. Speaking to your existing clients could be networking as well, because you're building relationships. It's exactly the same what you need to do with your internal clients. Every relationship should be built and based on trust. You build trust with people if you give them genuine attention, even just checking in with them regularly, scheduling a Zoom call, or even just picking up the phone or send them a message to say, hey, I'm thinking of you. How is your work going? Are you generally busy? Is there anything I can do for you? But also just generally having maybe a workshop session together where you really exchange ideas and thoughts around how you can benefit from each other's clients. It's a give and take. You can't just call someone up and say, hey, Rob, do you have any clients for me? Because I'm looking for some more work. Obviously, that doesn't go well. I need to build that relationship with you first before we get to exchange clients. Because why would you refer a client to me if you don't know that the quality of my work is good, that my work ethic is up to your standards, that you will be sure that your clients is in my safe hands? And that's a process which takes some time. Can't expect just by one phone call to receive a lot of referral work. But during the course of maybe a couple of months or a year, I will get on your radar.
Yeah.
And you will think of me when the next job lands.
You make a very good point about trust, because you would think that if a colleague works in your firm, is part of your brand, buys into your values and your vision, that their work will be excellent and they will be a really good fit for your clients with the services that they provide. But that's not always the case, is it? And you still need to build up those relationships and that reputation.
100%. As I said, it's all about trust. Generally, lawyers and accountants are very protective of their clients, because they obviously value the work that they can do for their clients, and they don't want to ruin the relationship with their clients that might be at risk if they introduce another person who make mistakes or do something wrong, and then the risk is that the relationship will be ruined. So you want to avoid that, and that's normal. But I also do think, coming back to your teamwork question, it is a matter of teamwork. It's a matter of give and take. It's a matter of sometimes taking this risk. But at the end of the day, it's going to be better for the firm as a whole if you do it, rather than keeping all your clients to yourself.
Yeah. And building relationships with your colleagues is so important, because yes, you would like referrals from them and introductions into their client base to do the things that you do that your colleague doesn't. But that goes the other way as well. You want to be able to refer work to them and service your clients and increase that share of wallet with your existing client base, and refer them to great advisors within your firm that can serve them.
Absolutely. It would be such a shame if I was a practitioner and I would have to refer the work to another law firm because I wouldn't trust my own employees. We'd have to make sure that we understand the people that were recruited into the firm that you work for are recruited on the same basis. So you have to sort of, like, trust in the fact that everyone who works at your firm is at equal level and are good, and you want to refer the work to them. Otherwise, the work will just go to your competitors. But trust me, it happens.
Yeah. I wonder too, Barbara, if part of the problem is to what degree professionals know what services their firm provides. I heard a story the other day about a consultant that was in a boardroom of partners, and he asked the partners, how many services do your firm provide for your clients? And they had a discussion and they said 9 services. And he said, that's interesting because on your website, it says you provide 15 services. So not even the partners themselves knew exactly what products and services they offered to clients. So what does that tell us?
A lot, I can tell you that. And it's a common issue in every firm I've worked for. And that's probably because of still the sort of silo mentality within practice areas, for example. And I know services are important and everyone needs to understand what sort of services and products the firm is selling. You know, taking a different approach rather than focusing so much on the practice areas, for example, or the types of services, looking at it from a more sector-focused approach is going to be a lot more beneficial for the firm, but also for the fee earners in the firm.
And there's a phrase called duty of care for professionals. I used to be a teacher. We had that phrase as well. It is your responsibility to ensure that your clients are looked after holistically with a range 100%. Of products and services. But you're right. This silo, this very narrow focus just pushes fee earners to serve them with the things that they provide on their own.
100%. I completely agree with you. And that is an issue. And it is something that can be overcome, but it starts with everyone individually, right? I mean, the firm cannot push all the partners and fee earners to do that. I think it starts with yourself to recognize within yourself, like, hey, I'm working for a firm. I'm not working for a practice area or for a service group. So what can I do? And especially to retain your clients, they may as well go to another firm, another accountancy firm or another law firm if they don't know that you also offer those services and that you also have a presence in different locations, for example. Mm. And that's the easiest thing to do for any firm. That's literally where the low-hanging fruit is.
Yeah. Talk to us about culture, Barbara. How important is it that the firm sets up a culture of collaboration and openness and sharing and educating one another and not holding on too tightly to that client relationship that you will let other colleagues in?
It's very important. And it's even more important within the traditional partnership model, because most of those partners will be equity partners. So at the end of the day, they will benefit from that approach as well, right? Because all the profits will go into the firm. So it's not like how well you've done as a practice or as a service group. So we have to look at it as a firm-wide and a one-firm sort of approach.
Well, one of the ways you can set culture like that is for the partners and senior partners to open up their portfolio themselves and bring other colleagues into that and set the example. Then when other people down the food chain, if you like, see that happening, they will do it themselves. That's one hope, isn't it?
Yeah, very much indeed. Also, it links back into very simple elements like the remuneration model. Yeah. So if partners are being encouraged through true incentives, then hopefully that will help the conversation to open up their client base to other practitioners as well for the benefits of the firm. But if that stimulus is not there, then I'm not sure if it's going to be achieved because everyone will ask the same question, what's in it for me?
Sure. Now, professionals that want to win business, we've established that the low-hanging fruit is the existing clients. Getting those referrals from your colleagues to their clients, but also going out to your own clients and getting more work from them. And this is the realm of cross-selling and upselling. So how do we get more work from existing clients, Barbara?
What I would suggest is to look at proper elements of account management. And I know sales and account management are sort of like dirty words within our profession, but they're useful because it allows for a more structured approach to focus on that low-hanging fruit, if you like. So those clients that we already have on board. And it's very strategic as well. So if you look at your top clients, and it could be top clients in terms of revenue, potential for growth, potential for cross-selling opportunities, potential for advisory work, then that's something you want to look at. And usually most of the firms who have a key client program, they will look at those elements and probably revenue comes first because again, the 80-20 rule is important. And if you know that you can do more for one specific client, you want to build a team around that. So there needs to be a client care partner, for example. You need to have a team in order to follow all the news and follow the movements within the sector so you fully update your clients. And at the end of the day, I think for those clients, it's all about the added value. So what do you bring to them that really adds value so that you can grow that relationship and become more and more important to them so that they want to turn all the work to you because they trust you?
Yeah, that's a very good point. And when you said focus on your top clients, it makes me think how there are different ways ways to identify a top client. You said revenue is one metric, but it isn't the only one. And I've just written down here, the clients that you have the best relationships with, that's one metric. Clients that are most loyal, that is another metric. Clients that have the biggest network, that is another metric, because it's not just upselling and cross-selling to those clients, but it's their network where you can get referrals. That's another source of business, isn't it?
100%. I couldn't agree more. They might benefit from your network because you might know people that can help that company open doors to new opportunities. It goes the other way around as well. So you do need to know how well connected they are, but also within that sort of like client relationship, who are these people that you have the relationship with? Is it the right people? Are these the key decision makers? So there's lots of things that come into play when you do consider selecting clients for a key client program.
Yeah. So key clients, key account management, it's essentially providing your clients with a great experience that they want to give more work to you. They want to introduce you to their network. Are there any other tips you've got in how accountants, for instance, might have conversations with their clients that would open up further opportunities?
Yeah. What always helps is building that sort of like personal relationship. And it's something that people usually forget, but we work with human beings. We work with people. It's a people business.
Yeah.
We tend to see clients like some sort of different group of people, but clients, they watch TV in the evening as well. They enjoy a glass of wine or having a coffee, go for a walk with their dog, play golf, etc., other activities that they do. And you need to find a commonality with them so that there's something to talk about, something you can discuss with them that puts you sort of like on common grounds, and it will be easier for you to build those relationships. It is a professional relationship, don't get me wrong. You don't have to build friendships with those people, but you do need to find commonalities in order to further develop those relationships and find something that you really both like to talk about and do it in that way.
Do you, when you're advising your own fee earners to do business development, give them suggestions for questions that they might ask a client that might open up an opportunity for more services with them?
Yeah, absolutely. We do have some sort of script that we can use if they struggle with having those conversations with clients. So what I often get back in terms of feedback when I suggest, like, why don't you just pick up the phone? And especially in a client program where you'll have a key client care partner and some other team members, there is a reason for them being in that role. And it means that they need to be in frequent touch with their client just to make sure that the conversation continues to go on. I wouldn't necessarily want to come across as too salesy, but apparently a lot of them struggle with, I've done my personal introduction, I've had a chit-chat about children and about the weather, but then there needs to be some sort of call to action in order to get things moving. But just a genuine question, like, I know we're all going through a rough time. How can we assist you with your needs? Be interested in their business, or you could refer to something that you've read in the news, for example, or something that you know has affected them. How can I support you to do that? Is there something you want me to look into so that I can help you? And it doesn't have to be on a rate basis, right? You can do something for them and then get the work in later.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And if you don't ask, you don't get, right?
Yeah, no one will turn to you to say, well, you're just too eager. You know, if Rob is my client and I ask you, Rob, yeah, the firm isn't very busy at the moment, so I actually look for a bit more work. Is there anything you can do for me? You don't want them to do something for you. You want to do something for them, and you're offering that to them.
Yeah.
And there is nothing wrong with that.
Barbara, this has been great today. It's dipped our toes into the world of winning business more easily. People think it's difficult. People are scared by it, particularly very technical professionals. But you've shown today how accessible and easy it can be in building the relationship to bring in more business. If people want to find out more about your book, Beyond Billable Hours, or about the great stuff that you talk about, what's a good way for them to reach you?
Through the website, beyondbillablehours.com. You can find lots of information there. There's a LinkedIn page as well.
Thank you. And leave the accountants and professionals listening with some words of encouragement. They want to bring in more business. They want to be more courageous. They want to ask more questions. They want to do business development in a more confident and effective way, but they perhaps don't know how to start. How would you advise?
It's all about the mindset. Make sure that you feel confident, that you come across as being confident. Genuinely reach out to your clients, even if it's just a genuine hello, how are you? Who would want to ignore that? There is always room for a genuine chat.
Yeah.
And that's how it starts. Just be yourself.
I love that. And I often say, who knows what lies on the other side of a courageous hello, how are you doing? So many opportunities, right?
Exactly. I completely agree.
Well, Barbara Coonan, that's been lovely. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.